Tropical Smoothie Cafe welcomes you to Tropic Time. I'll be your concierge. Our beach bites, including made-to-order wraps and bowls, are full of tropic vibes. And our fresh-from-the-blender smoothies make you feel absolutely radiant. It's like a wellness retreat for your taste buds. You're on Tropic Time now at Tropical Smoothie Cafe. Got breakfast plans? At Tropical Smoothie Cafe, hitting your protein goals is a breeze. With our smoothies, bowls, wraps, and dias featuring up to 32 grams of protein.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning,
Roto Experts.
To the end zone! It's caught! Touchdown! Oh my goodness!
The mark of fantasy excellence.
You have to be careful about who you think is stepping forward on the depth chart.
It's caught for a touchdown!
You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts in the morning.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
All right, here we are in a Sunday morning groove. Good morning. Welcome to the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, our brand new Sunday edition. Sunday mornings, 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern. You'll hear me every week. I am Scott Engel, the Managing Director of RotoExperts.com. I am the king. I am fantasy. And for the very first time, a long time coming, I've always wanted to do this. My regular co-host, longtime Roto Experts, Joe Galina. Joe, it's a pleasure to be with you.
Awesome to be with you as well, Scott, and well said. It's been a long time coming. I mean, I'm a big fan, even before I joined the Roto Experts, of the brand of the Roto Experts. Listened to you over the years, Roto Experts in the Morning. So happy to be part of this franchise that provides, like you said, the best in excellence in the fantasy industry.
Yes, the longest running morning show in the fantasy industry. You hear Joe and myself every Sunday morning from 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern. Special Super Bowl Sunday edition next week from 8 to 12 Eastern. And don't forget, during the weekdays, I host the Roto Experts podcast, which you can find every day, 5 days a week, on all your significant platforms. You usually find us. Number to call with the interact with the show today is 844-843-6879. It's 844-843-6879. Today is Pro Bowl day, Joe, and I could probably not care less.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, back in the day, Pro Bowl, they played it the weekend after the Super Bowl, and, you know, we were starved, me and my friends, for football action. We'd actually watch the Pro Bowl, but after a while, just it got kind of silly, and yeah, I really don't have any interest in watching it today. Be honest with you.
It's rare that I don't watch a pro football event, but I keep this off my calendar. I watch preseason football because I believe that preseason football is important. You know, that's how I identify guys like Chris Herndon in the past. You know, it's you have to watch preseason football. I think that's more relevant. The problem with the Pro Bowl is it used to be something to at least be named to the Pro Bowl, but now everybody's replacing everybody else to the point where it's diluted and it doesn't matter. These guys are not going to, it's almost like a walkthrough to me, like a glorified walkthrough, because, you know, these guys are really not tackling each other and playing a lot of defense. They upped it a little bit more last year, but still not enough for me. I don't know how they can get the game right. Like, sometimes people will say, well, how do you expect to fix it if you don't like it? Sometimes I think there just isn't a solution, because you can't play it before the season, middle of the season, after the season, right. Nobody cares.
Right, exactly. And think about the Saints players who have been named to the game. I mean, do you think that these guys really want to be playing? How much of their heart is going to be into playing this week?
Yeah, and then you have the Patriots and the Rams players. They aren't there. It's I could seemingly have a problem with every sort of all-star game. With baseball, my biggest problem is, and sometimes you say, look, you don't like it. How do we fix it? I don't know. But usually it's like the first half all-star team. If a guy has a great first half, he makes the all-star team, and then we see him fall off in the second half in baseball.
Yeah, yeah. I thought baseball had it going in the right direction when the winner, let's say if the AL won, then they'd have the home field advantage in the World Series. Yeah, so I thought they were going in the right direction there. But I see what you're saying in terms of, you know, basically the baseball All-Star game is a popularity contest and also does reward, you know, first half greatness. So you got a point there.
Yeah, the NBA All-Star game, like, it's just lack of defense, as everybody knows. I watch NASCAR. You don't. The NASCAR All-Star race is, to me, it's okay to watch, but those guys get more wide open than they do in a usual race. The only sport I've seen, and I don't watch this sport, so you can tell me more than I have. It seems like people really enjoy the NHL All-Star game, the NHL All-Star weekend.
Yeah, you know, I wonder, because, you know, I'm kind of a casual hockey fan, and it just seems that, to me, it's just looking from afar, it seems similar to what you're talking about with the Pro Bowl. Not much hitting, not much checking, lots of scoring. I think that people get a kick more out of the skills competition than the actual game. But, you know, that's more of a question for maybe a George Kurtz, who actually follows hockey on a daily basis.
Yeah, but George is never satisfied with anything, though. That's the problem.
That's true. That is true. Yeah. Did a show with him a couple of weeks ago, and he actually was optimistic. I was talking about how sad
really?
I was. Yeah, yeah. It was the weekend before the AFC and NFC championships, the last weekend where we get four games to watch in football. And I mentioned how I was a little, you know, sad that was going to be the last time for this football season that we had four games to watch. And he actually took the positive outlook on it, which I was shocked, because, like you say, he gets a little testy.
George gets a little cranky. You know, talk to him about the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, boy. Yeah. I always we like to push each other's buttons, because I'm the Giants fan and he's the Cowboys fan. But
the Cowboys, Cowboys sure get a heck of a lot of attention for a team that's won, like, what, four wild card games in 22 years and nothing else?
Yeah, America's team? You know, I don't know. I mean, when you look at, you know, you and I are from the same generation, and you take a look at, you know, 1970s football, you know, the Jets were a bad team, the Giants were a bad team. You know, you get a lot of fans of teams outside of the New York area, you know, a lot of Dallas Cowboy fans, a lot of Steelers fans, a lot of Dolphins fans. So I guess that might be part of it. Also, hey, you know, they were the first team that had the gorgeous cheerleaders.
Yeah, well, it was passed on to generations after that.
Yeah.
And you got people who grew up in the 90s when the Cowboys were really good. The Steelers, in every decade, really, were always in contention. To me, they're the most successful franchise, I would say, in pro football, you know, throughout their history. Because in the 70s through now, they've always been in contention. Maybe they've dropped out for like a few year period, but they've always seemed to be in contention. Whereas with the Cowboys, it's like, you know, everybody still watches them. They still draw these high TV ratings, but yet the success hasn't been there in the past, in the past two decades plus.
Yeah, it hasn't been as consistent, and you're right. I mean, when you look at the Steelers franchise, just consistently, you know, the Chuck Knoll years, and then it's been successful in every decade, but this run that, and we're going to be talking about the Pats. I mean, this run that the Pats are on, that's going to be tough to match, you know, for the period that we're talking about here for the past, you know, 15 plus years.
Yeah, it's like the Raiders have all these fans and they haven't they've been bad longer than the Cowboys haven't been bad, but they haven't been a great team. The Raiders have just been bad for a very, very long time. Haven't really been good since 2002 and haven't won a Super Bowl since 1983. The Dolphins, you go even farther back. It's, seems like a lot of their fans have disappeared. It's, they haven't been good since like 1999 and haven't even been in a Super Bowl since 1985 and last one with 1973. It's like these teams of so-called tradition, like the Cowboys and the Raiders and the Dolphins, it's like, to me, what traditions in the last 20 years, what traditions have we seen from the Cowboys? The Raiders have been a laughing stock for the last 2 to 3 decades. The Dolphins have not been very good in a long time. It's, people like view the Raiders as tough. To me, the toughest team of this century so far has really been the Baltimore Ravens over the Raiders. America's team to me is the Patriots, because when the Cowboys were America's team, it's because they were so recognizable because they were always on television and everybody loved them or hated them. Everybody knows who Tom Brady is now, and everybody loves or hates the Patriots. So to me, the Patriots are America's team.
You know, I can't argue with you there. Like I said, this run that they're on, I don't think it's going to be it's going to be ever matched again. You know, the combination of Belichick and Brady, though, forever they're going to be spoken about in the same conversation. You know, when you talk about the Raiders, it's almost like sometimes I think with the Raiders they had that bad boy image back in the day. It's almost like, you know, I don't think you're into wrestling, but you know, a lot of wrestling fans, they tend to like the villain, you know, as opposed to the baby face guy. So you know, maybe that's what attracted a lot of people to the Raiders as well. And you know what, you know, passing down, let's say, if a father to a son, or father even to a daughter, because there are a lot of women that are into football these days too, which is great. You know, it just gets passed on down. So maybe that's why you still have a lot of these, teams that are still very popular to this day.
Yeah, but for the Cowboys, the America's team moniker is like a leftover relic. And when people say, how about them Cowboys? It's like, that kind of proves to me how long it's been since they've been good, because that quote is from like 1995. So, you know, get with the times here. It's, you know, and I don't hate the Cowboys. It's just, you know, to me, they're not America's team. Do you have an opinion on who's America's team? To me, it's the Patriots. You know, they even called the Patriots. That very American. 844-843-6879. That's 844-843-6879. Who is really America's team and why? We like to hear from you. And that goes into the fact that, you know, we got Super Bowl 53 coming up next week. And, you know, you were talking about it, about, you know, how everybody seems to hate the Patriots. To me, this Super Bowl, the narrative seems to be more that the whole country outside of Dot Avenue in Boston wants to see New England lose more than anything. It's like the Rams are not here because they're the Rams. They're here just because people don't want the Patriots to win. That's the only way they look at the Rams. People don't care about the Rams from a national perspective. They don't want the Patriots to win again. It is so, if you look on social media, et cetera, it is just so trendy right now to be hating on the Patriots just because they win so much and people are tired of them. It's almost like if you like the Patriots, you're going against the trends.
Yeah, and you know, I was doing a show last week, Fantasy Football Live, with Cam Stewart, Chris Pavona, and when the Patriots came back to win, it was almost like, you know, we were kind of almost like dejected to see the Patriots in the Super Bowl again. But at the same time, you know, I brought up, and sometimes you just got to say, hey, look, you know, I'm watching what is probably the greatest football franchise, you know, of all time. Like I said, you know, just a couple of seconds ago, that this run is unprecedented. And sometimes you just gotta, you know, sit back and enjoy what you're watching, because it's almost like you're watching, let's say, you know, the Babe Ruth of football, and you know, the Gretzky of hockey. You know, you're watching, you know, one
Michael
of the
Jordan,
all-time
yeah.
Great, the Michael Jordan. You know, sometimes you just got to sit back and enjoy what you're seeing. And you know, maybe, you know, 10, 20 years down the line, you know, you could tell your grandson, yeah, I saw Brady in his prime. You know, the guy, you know, he was drafted late and just came in, took over for Bledsoe, and just won a Super Bowl and never stopped winning. So, you know, but you're right. It's like, you know, it's got to be a little bit of a jealousy as well. You know, you just want to take out when you talk about the anti-Patriot sentiment. You know, it's just, you know, hey, that just shows how good they are that everyone hates them sometimes.
Everybody hates them so much. It's we had this story of a kid in the science fair who actually won a science fair and went out to the district that everybody's buzzing about because he actually, like, you know, showed deflated footballs, actually threw them and showed why supposedly Tom Brady had cheated. It's, you know, to me, it's nothing but petty jealousy at this point. It's, well, I see a lot of people like if some people say Brady's the greatest of all time, the other people will come back with Montana because he's never lost a Super Bowl and he's never thrown an interception in a Super Bowl. But I don't think that's boosting Montana as much as trying to put down Brady. And what can you really put down Brady for? No other quarterback has played in 9 Super Bowls. Even if he loses this one, he'll still be 5-4. Joe Montana, you know, he didn't play in 9 Super Bowls. He didn't have the kind of overall. Look, I thought Montana was great, but he didn't have the kind of overall success that Brady certainly has. He was 4-0, but he didn't play in 9 of them either. And you break it down, like, he had weapons like Jerry Rice, et cetera. Mm-hmm. You know, outside of having Randy Moss for a little while. Well, he's had Gronk, though. You know, Brady hasn't had as impressive weaponry as Montana did either.
That's a very good point. And Montana didn't have the longevity that Brady has as well. I mean, you know, he did show how good he was when he went to the Chiefs and made them a success. It didn't make it to the Super Bowl there, but
the longevity, Brady, really not a comparison. And we will live on after this break to talk some more football and fantasy football.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Michael Jackson, begin your Sunday morning here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Use the promo code FNTSY100 when signing up to get a 100% bonus deposit match. So head on over and open your account at BetDSI. That's promo code FNTSY100 to get your 100% bonus. At the game, just a gut feeling, no problem. Now you can be here. Now you can bet from anywhere, anytime with the all-new MyBookie mobile betting platform. With the MyBookie mobile platform, you'll enjoy the safety and convenience of in-home betting when you're on the go. Try it out today. You'll never miss another winning bet. Head on over to MyBookie.ag and open up an account with promo code FNTSY, and MyBookie will match your deposit up to $1,000. That's right, up to $1,000. That's mybookie.ag, promo code FNTSY. Mybookie.ag, promo code FNTSY. Scott Engel and Joe Galina here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Brand new Sunday edition, 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern every Sunday. And little Michael Jackson to start there, to start the hour. They just don't leave that guy alone in his death, really, do they, Joe?
No, I saw, I didn't read the article, but I saw some kind of a headline about, what was it, that he married a child or something like that? Just, you know, come on. I mean, you know, you talk about greatest of all time. I mean, he has to be up there when it comes to musical talent. Just, you know, when you look at what he did, and you and I kind of like from the same generation, and that the Thriller album, when Beat It came out, and you know, Eddie Van Halen, his guitar licks on that song, just like he married pop music and hard rock. It was just incredible. So, but I know you're a big dancer. Can you moonwalk?
I used to be able to do it. I haven't tried it recently.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I'm sure you still can. It's like riding a bicycle. Not that I could do it, but, you know, I'm sure.
It's not that difficult.
Past. Yeah.
Yeah. What is your favorite Michael Jackson song, you would say?
I guess it would have to be Beat It. Because, like I said, at the time when it came out, you know, I was in high school, and there was such a, you know, you had the rockers, and you had, you know, the guys, you know, the people who like let's say, dance pop kind of music. And that song just married both, which, so it really, I was just floored when I first heard that song.
Yeah, and I would say probably my favorite is The Way You Make Me Feel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You knock me off of my feet now, baby. Hee hee. Oh. Well, look, all that other stuff that happened in his personal life, I really don't know what to think, but, you know, his music will live on forever. You know, there's a lot of disturbed people who are just famous, like comedians. Ooh. Like comedians, just they speak from a lot of pain. And it was funny because it was on cable this weekend. I watched it again. What's Love Got to Do with It? And, you know, so many people talk badly about Ike Turner before he passed. And a lot of people don't realize that Ike Turner was like a very influential musician, though, coming up, though. And Little Richard was like one of his contemporaries and listed him as a big influence. I think Ike Turner actually like played what they said was like on the first rock and roll song ever.
Ike Turner, really? I didn't know that. So, I mean, we're talking, what, mid-50s?
Yeah, mid-50s. You know, I forgot what the name of the song was. You look up Ike Turner's bio, it comes up, though. But anyhow, back to football. You know, we're well-versed here in the Roto Experts in the Morning, as you you know over the years. You know, I like to dabble in all kinds of music, but, you know, the fact that the Patriots are back in the Super Bowl is not music to anybody's ears. Outside of Boston, it seems like pretty much everybody hates them, and like Jared Goff would just become a national hero if the Rams were to win the Super Bowl. Again, we got the Pro Bowl today, and you know, a lot of people playing daily in the Pro Bowl. So like I used to, like, when like DraftKings came out with exhibition football a few years ago, I was like, what? You know, exhibition football, and you know, people actually come up with strategies for it. On Daily Roto, they talk about it as well. You know, they'll say, okay, here are the guys that might play later in the game that, you know, might do well for you. But it's kind of hard to handicap, you know, who you're going to pick when you're playing daily fantasy football in the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, but I heard Gabe Morency on air yesterday talking about how he was very high on Saquon Barkley. And, you know, look, you don't need an excuse to put Saquon Barkley into one of your lineups. But I liked what he said, that, you know, this is an opportunity for him to just go off. You know, we talked about how, you know, the defense is going to be lacking in this kind of game. So it just could be a perfect avenue for Barkley to, you know, catch his passes, you know, run wild and whatnot. So I like Gabe's take on that. But yeah, tough to put a DFS lineup together, though, just with the ins and outs of these players coming in and out of the game.
Yeah, I would think so. But you think maybe for a kid like Barkley, you know, maybe it's more meaningful to play in a game like that.
Yeah, I guess, you know.
Rookie doing it for the first time.
Yeah. So it's still special to him. Yeah, we talked about how some of the players, you know, don't even want to show up to the game. You know, it's not even in Hawaii anymore, right? I think it's in Orlando.
Yeah.
At least when it was in Hawaii.
Anybody could go to Orlando, right?
Yeah. Yes. So yeah. You know, you're right when you say, you know, Barkley. It's the you know, it's still special to him to be chosen into the Pro Bowl. So, you know, feel lucky to have Saquon Barkley on our team as a Giants fan. So, good, nice young man and great talent as well.
Yeah, you're looking for the Giants for next season, and if you go to rotoexperts.com. We're now 365 NFL, all year round. We are now NFL with myself and Davis Maddock. And, you know, he's talking a lot about the NFL draft. We're looking at a lot of mock drafts, seeing a lot of reports that Eli Manning will come back for next year, which doesn't thrill a lot of Giants fans like yourself. But, you know, they're in a position right now where they could probably have a good shot at a quarterback like Drew Lock at the sixth spot. And I think, you know, having Eli Manning is a good bridge to whatever kid they're going to draft there, because if the kid can come in and start right away, that pushes Eli to the bench. If the kid proves he can't start right away, well, at least you have a veteran quarterback there. And it's also like, you know, if Eli's willing to do it, he could act as a player coach and groom the kid, because, you know, I remember when Andrew Luck was in his first few seasons, Matt Hasselbeck was his backup, and he credits Matt Hasselbeck for teaching him a lot about the game. So there was a lot of reasons to keep Eli Manning for the Giants, other than just the fact that, okay, we may need him as a starter. I think, you know, an NFL team would like to have that cushion of, we got the young kid coming in, but in case it doesn't work, we also have the veteran.
Yes, and, you know, Eli, yeah, say what you will about him, skills eroding and whatnot. Part of that, obviously, the offensive line, because the offensive line started playing a little bit better later in the season, and he played a little bit better. But the big thing, to your point, is that Eli doesn't have an ego. And I think he realizes, he sees that the writing is on the wall. So I think he'd be a good role model for any young quarterback. And, you know, the guy that has been getting some traction lately is Daniel Jones, in terms of, you know, maybe a quarterback that the Giants might look to. A guy that just came out of nowhere, his name. You know, we heard about the Harris, and we heard about Locke and Kyler Murray, of course, Dwayne Haskins. But you know, there's a connection with Daniel Jones and the Manning brothers. You know, they're college football coaches worked with Daniel Jones recently within the past couple of years. So there's a little bit of a connection there. So that's a name to keep on your radar as well.
When you look at Harris, though, you know, that's the name that jumps out at everybody. But, you know, the problem with Harris, though, is that Jacksonville's sitting at number five. And when you look at a lot of these mock drafts, like Jacksonville and Coughlin, you know, one spot ahead of his old team, that's who Coughlin's going to go for. And, you know, that's what they're saying, really, is that Jacksonville will probably try to land one of those guys at five. Very, very likely it's going to be Harris. And that the Giants would probably have to trade up ahead of Jacksonville, I've seen, to probably get their shot at Harris.
Yeah, I think it's Dwayne Haskins, right?
Haskins,
if I said
mean.
Harris, I apologize. Yeah. I apologize. But yeah, I mean Haskins.
I meant Haskins. I don't know why I said Harris.
Yeah, no, that's cool. Yeah. That's cool. But when you look at his numbers, I mean the touchdown to interception ratio, incredible, you know, for Ohio State. But he really's just done it for the 1 year. So, but yeah, the Jaguars are definitely going to be looking for a quarterback. So that's somebody that the Giants are going to have to be battling against.
Yeah, and, you know, some talk of them going after Nick Foles as well, which would make a very interesting fit. Maybe Foles could come in there, and if Leonard Fournette could somehow stay healthy, but it seems like he's the reincarnation of Fred Taylor. They have some pieces there. I think they still have a lot of confidence in their defense. Just spent too much time on the field last year, and if they bring in one more piece of quarterback, you know, it's the quarterback very often is the final piece to the puzzle. It's just the position's too thin when you look at the overall NFL picture. It's it's too thin. In fantasy football, it's deep because you only start 12. But when you talk about 32 guys, it seems like teams are really, really scrambling for a quarterback. And there's just not a lot out there. You know, Nick Foles is going to get a lot of attention because he's a Super Bowl winning quarterback. Hitting the open market, and a guy that's already got a Super Bowl MVP and really performed well down the stretch this past year as well. There's going to be a lot of buzz for his services because, you know, these guys are coming out as rookies. You don't know how they're going to do in their first season. Mm-hmm. And, you know, here's a guy that is a proven commodity on the open market more than anybody. Like Joe Flacco is proven, but his best years are behind him. I think a lot of NFL people will think that Nick Foles is in his prime and can still make an impact. Depending on where he goes, he might be a serviceable fantasy quarterback too.
Yeah, he's very interesting, especially with the connection to the Jaguars. I think they just signed John DeFilippo as their offensive coordinator, and there's a connection there from their Eagle days together. And, you know, Foles is an interesting guy because, he's had really good seasons, and then he's had some mediocre seasons, especially when he was with the Rams. Some people blame Jeff Fisher, the Jeff Fisher effect, that he kills quarterbacks and whatnot. But you're right, the guy has shown Foles. Obviously, I don't have to say it. He's shown great poise and had success in pressure situations. In terms of a fantasy quarterback, yeah, he probably has some value. I guess it depends on his landing spot. But Jaguars, really interesting spot, like I said, the DeFilippo connection. And you got to wonder, yeah, I agree with you. Jaguars, they should have some confidence in that defense. It still has a capability of playing to a high level. But now you got to wonder, what's going to happen with Leonard Fournette? You know, is he going to be back? I mean, do they cut ties with him? So, I mean, Jaguars are going to be a real interesting team to watch, and it's great that Roto Experts went 365 days a year NFL coverage, so I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with the Jaguars this season.
Yeah, when you talk about Fournette, he gets hurt all the time, but he's still a transcendent talent. Looks like, you know, from the reports that we saw, that they had a meeting late in the season, and they kind of cleared the air, and I think they're going to move forward with him because, you know, to find a running back with that kind of talent, you know, that's not easy either. Although, you know, we saw with Philip Lindsay this season that, you know, you don't have to draft a running back high to land a very talented kid. So there'll be pressure on Fournette. Look, we can only predict here. We can only speculate. But from everything we've read, I would expect to see Fournette back in Jacksonville.
Very possible, but let me ask you, is he somebody that you would feel comfortable owning on your fantasy team in 2019?
Well, that's a different story altogether. I didn't draft Leonard Fournette in a single league last year. I won 4 Super Bowls because in the 10 leagues that I played in, and made it to 5 in half of my leagues this year. Very good year. Made the final 4 in 6 and made the playoffs in 7 because I didn't have Leonard Fournette on any of my rosters. We did an early mock draft on rotoexperts.com, which you can find on the NFL and fantasy tabs. And Leonard Fournette went in the 4th round as an RB2, Dane Martinez.
Yeah, and Dane had a very interesting draft that we've spoken about, like on the network. He went with Le'Veon Bell, number 2 overall. You know, if Fournette is healthy and could get his head screwed on straight, because if you remember last year, he was benched because he didn't show up for the team photo. This year, he was suspended for a game because he got involved in some fisticuffs on the field. So the guy, I mean, has all the talent in the world, but even look at just even his conditioning, you know, he at the end of the season, he was heavier than when he reported for training camp. So this guy, like I said, he's got all the talent in the world, got to keep his head screwed on straight. And you know what? I mean, yeah, they did have that meeting. You know, they cleared the air or whatnot, but there's still some grievance going on where in terms of, you know, he wants to get paid some money that he thought he had guaranteed, but the Jaguars are saying, hey, that the suspension voided the remaining guarantees on his four-year contract. So there's still some issues that both sides need to work out.
Yeah, not as big as issues, though, as we're going to see in Pittsburgh, and we've seen already in Pittsburgh, and we're going to address those as well. Of course, the Antonio Brown situation as well. But lots more to come here. We'll also talk some fantasy baseball a little bit later in the show. We're doing Roto Experts online 365 days a year, but we're not going to neglect it on the air here. Joe and I are going to be talking some fantasy baseball on the Roto Experts podcast throughout the week. I'm going to talk some fantasy baseball as well. A lot of the big free agent names still floating out there. Bryce Harper has not been signed. Manny Machado has not been signed. Some little lesser names. Gio Gonzalez is still out there. We're about 2 weeks from pitchers and catchers reporting very soon. We'll talk a little Pittsburgh Steelers, both NFL and fantasy-wise. Your calls, 844-843-6879 on the Roto Experts in the Morning.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your Daily Roto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
What is this? George Kurtz around somewhere or playing the Who?
Oh, yeah.
Who? That's what we'll be telling you at rotoexperts.com. If you want to find out who the fantasy football rookies to watch are, check out Davis Maddox Dynasty and rookie running back rankings on rotoexperts.com right now. One of my favorite Who tunes there, Joe. I was never a huge Who fan, though, but I do like them, and they're still touring.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, I was talking to Jim Day last week in terms of, you know, the Rolling Stones and the Who are both touring in 2019. Is this 1965 or the 21st century? So I like the Who. They're not one of my favorite bands, you know, of all time, but I like them a lot. And yeah, I go back to 1982 when that was their first farewell tour. And you know, I was in middle school and I scored some tickets for their show in Shea Stadium, but my parents would have let me go. And I'm like, but this is their last concert. And here we are, you know, in 2019, they're still touring.
Yes.
Do you think he still has a voice? Roger
Daltrey, you know what? I haven't listened to them enough lately to actually make a judgment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I personally, like, I've seen you know, some live footage of them, you know, and Daltrey, man, one of the all time greats, of course. But I think he's lost a little bit of it. But we'll see. You know, we'll give them their due.
All right, back to some football talk here. Today is Pro Bowl day. I don't even know what time it's on, Jim. Joe, is it still on like 6 o'clock like it usually used to be?
I'd have to Google that, tell you the truth, because I don't know. Embarrassing that we both don't know, right?
This is how little of us, you know, hardcore NFL fans and fantasy players are actually paying attention to the game.
3 p.m.
On
ESPN.
It used to be on at 6 very often.
Yeah,
back when they played in Hawaii.
Well, I guess maybe that's Exactly. That's probably why. So I think you're better off listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network instead of watching that show. Hey, you want to just keep it on and just turn the volume down and listen to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Yeah,
just shut the whole thing off and just listen to the Fantasy Sports Network. Like, the Super Bowl is more important. The Pittsburgh Steelers are not there. They didn't even make the playoffs this year. Week 17 was a big deal. No Antonio Brown. ESPN coming off with a more comprehensive report towards the weekend, in which they really broke down what's going on. Is that, like, a lot of people in the locker room like Antonio Brown. A lot of people have played, but he gets the star treatment. He shows up late for meetings, etc. One teammate was like, "Who cares what time he shows up? You know, as long as he plays like he does." That he can get away with that star treatment because of the fact that he practices so hard. People would joke about the fact that, you know, according to this ESPN story by Ron Fowler, that when everybody was dressed, he would show up in a mink coat in the locker room when everybody was dressed already, and he'd still go out and get 150 yards. So he gets away with it. He doesn't always get along with Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger would ask him to turn down his music in the locker room. You know, that would create a little friction. But I guess they kind of have the relationship, I'm reading, that when you work with somebody every day, you kind of get on each other's nerves a little bit. It would the more of that thing. With Tomlin, though, he really hasn't seen eye to eye, and maybe even less than Roethlisberger. But Tomlin's made it clear that when the play starts to decline, the antics are going to be less tolerable. But there's also a feeling internally that even with the play still at a high level, that the antics are not tolerable. There's been talk about trading Antonio Brown, but, you know, are they going to get a first-round pick, et cetera? ESPN said the market is small, but it's strong. The Steelers would have a lot of dead cap space, but they also have some other money coming off the cap. I believe, especially if Le'Veon Bell is gone too, so they might be willing to take the hit there. He's openly courted with the San Francisco 49ers on social media, but then, you know, the Rooneys basically selfing their stance this past week, said, you know, we have things to work out. Antonio's got things to work out. You know, that's what we have to take a look at. From a fantasy perspective, though, I already see people dropping him in their early rankings because they figure he's not going to be in Pittsburgh anymore. Maybe there's a chance of that. You know, unless he goes to a team with a bad quarterback situation, I can't imagine a universe in which Antonio Brown still isn't a fantasy superstar.
Yeah, I agree with you. And you know, I guess it's a slow news week because we're in between the Super Bowl, but there's lots of news coming out about Antonio Brown. You got, you know, Terrell Owens, who supposedly was a mentor to Antonio Brown, saying, look, this guy does not want to come back to the Steelers and whatnot. And, you know, it kind of surprised to hear that that he is as well liked in the locker room as you know, the article that you read is indicating, because when you look at you know, the team, his teammates, they voted Juju Smith-Schuster as the team MVP, and that's I think there's a lot of moving parts to this story. I think that's a little bit of it that might have put him a little bit over the edge. I get what you're saying in terms of, you know, when you work together for so long, you know, I'm talking about the Roethlisberger and Brown relationship. It's like an old marriage where, you know, there's bound to be little things. But, you know, from what I read, you know, Roethlisberger was downright disrespectful to Brown in practices, and then Brown didn't, you know, take too kindly to it. It's like, you know, Roethlisberger, get him out of here, get somebody else in there, you know, and so that being said, I mean, Brown is still at the top of his game, and I agree with you. Unless he goes to a team that just has no quarterback whatsoever, I still think that he is definitely should be considered as one of the top wide receivers in the game. You know, top three.
I don't know if you could look into the fact that they voted Smith-Schuster team MVP. You know, his dislike of Antonio Brown, I don't think they're voting him team MVP because, you know, they have something against Antonio Brown.
Well, I mean, I think
trying to read a little bit too much into it.
Maybe, but I think it does speak to how the locker room feels. I mean, you know, what you described to me about the way that, you know, he has these little diva-like qualities to him, Antonio Brown, kind of reminds me of, you know, Odell Beckham Jr., you know, and let's say the Steelers let, you know, him get away with coming in late and stuff as long as he performs. Well, how do the other teammates feel about that?
One of the teammates says, who cares what time he shows up? You know, as long as he's putting up the numbers he's putting, I think voting Smith-Schuster
spoke to the media.
The team MVP doesn't mean they don't feel that Antonio Brown is valuable.
Yeah, but they feel that obviously. I mean, Juju is more valuable to the team than Antonio Brown. To me, that says, hey, you know, if Brown goes down with an injury, that's okay. We got Juju.
I don't think it says any of that. It's just like, he was the most valuable player on the team this year. He's the guy that we really couldn't do without, because look what kind of season he had. That doesn't mean it's necessarily a shot at Antonio Brown. You know, maybe they already know, you know, where Antonio is. He's established, you know, that could be a boost to Smith-Schuster. Just because they're boosting Smith-Schuster doesn't mean they're knocking Antonio Brown and saying they don't like him and he's not a good teammate. Isn't that reading too much? Isn't that assuming too much from the outside?
Well, look, you know, these players, a lot of these players, I don't want to generalize all the players, but a lot of these players, they have a big ego. And, you know, maybe I am reading too much into it, but I still say it speaks volumes into how that locker room, and, you know, maybe the person that is quoted in that article that says, who cares what time he gets there, that's one voice. Maybe that's one person who actually stepped up and wanted to speak to the media.
There's a general feeling from reading that story that, you know, a lot of his teammates like him. A lot of them do. And they accept the star treatment. He's got his own place in spring training. And like, look, if Antonio's just going to step in and play like that, you know, another teammate said, you know, he earned all those cars, et cetera. You know, just because you vote one player MVP doesn't mean you're knocking another guy. So if he's not voted...
Not specifically knocking them, but it's not a vote of confidence for Antonio Brown either.
If Juju Smith-Schuster you know, gets voted team MVP, well, should James Conner be pissed off? Should Ben Roethlisberger be pissed off? Only one guy can get voted team MVP. I don't think that's a reflection of what the dynamics in the locker room are.
Mm-hmm. Well, what would be better for Antonio Brown? Juju Smith is voted by his peers, by the guys in the locker room as the team MVP, or him? You don't think that ticked him off a little bit?
You don't know that maybe Antonio Brown actually voted for Juju Smith-Schuster.
I guess it's possible. I don't know. You know,
I mean, they already know who Antonio Brown is. He doesn't need that kind of award. You know, for Juju Smith-Schuster, mm-hmm. who's coming into his own, that's a boost. Only one guy could be named team MVP. If guys get jealous like that, you're going to have that problem in every locker room every year. What would that say about the locker room?
Like I said, I mean, a lot of these superstars in all sports have huge egos. So, to me, that locker room was probably fractured before this whole Antonio Brown situation happened, because of the whole Le'Veon Bell situation. I mean, you had guys speaking out against Le'Veon Bell in terms of, you know, his offensive linemen saying, look, we're the ones who make him great, you know, and he's looking for more money. We should be getting more money. So to me, that whole locker room in Pittsburgh is fractured.
Yeah, but, you know, it's one thing for a guy not to show up. You expect people to get pissed off. Antonio Brown's still walking in the door.
Brown didn't show up, putting in
150 yards.
Yeah, didn't he not show up? Was it a practice that he didn't show up for, or the walkthrough on Saturday? The 17.
From what I read in ESPN, that's accepted behavior. That when they actually run through the plays,
It shouldn't be.
But, no, I'm saying not what he did, but for the rest of the season, mm-hmm. seems like a lot of his teammates accepted his behavior. It was the coaching staff that really said, you know, we can't take any more of this, you know, him acting this way. And they decided to suspend him. But
right. So they enabled him. They enabled him to be a diva. They just said, okay, you know, you want to get here late, just, you know, just catch your customary 10 catches a game, 120 yards. That's fine. Do whatever the heck you want. What does that say to the rest of the team?
Basically that this guy's getting the star treatment. It seems like what I read on ESPN, yeah, it seems
no
like a lot
person,
of the guys are
there's
okay
no
with
I
it.
In team. Right? I mean, there's no I in team. I mean, no one.
Yeah, but sometimes it's the way it is. You know, some players are going to get treated differently than other players.
Yeah, I mean, I just,
Tomlin said,
I
he said, this will last as long as, you know, he's still playing at a high level. He's still playing at a high level, but it seems like Tomlin's and the front office patience has run out. But I think the way teammates view it is kind of different. You know, I've been in pro clubhouses, and I just can't agree that, you know, just a guy getting voted team MVP is going to piss Antonio Brown off. What pisses Antonio Brown off is what he told Roethlisberger is that he doesn't feel the organization appreciates him enough. He didn't say anything about his teammates.
Well, he doesn't think he's making enough money? I mean, why don't they appreciate him? Did the article get into that? Like, you know, why does he feel that way? I mean, is it a contract situation? Is it the way that they treat him? He doesn't have the best parking spot, you know.
He doesn't even have a parking spot. A limo drops him off all the time.
All right. Well, I just brought up.
I don't think it went into why he didn't feel appreciated.
As one of the situations, it's not the reason why they're having this problem. I just think it contributes to it. It might have been the cherry on the top of the sundae, we'll say.
So we should add co-MVPs? What do you recommend? Somebody's got to get the award. We only one person can get the award. You think Antonio Brown doesn't know that? The other teammates don't know that? Like, they're just going to sit around and grumble, oh, I didn't get team MVP. Only one guy can get it.
As a matter of fact,
and the teammates, those guys are voting for it, too.
For the kid. Right. We have to find out who Antonio Brown voted, if he was involved in the voting.
I don't think we'll ever find that out. I think it's also presumptuous to people to drop him in fantasy rankings because he won't be in Pittsburgh anymore. Like, say if he was going to San Francisco, Garoppolo plays well, Antonio Brown's still going to put up huge numbers.
Absolutely, yeah. He'll be by far the number one guy there. I'm happy with him in San Francisco. And like you said, through social media, he's kind of making it known that that's one of the landing spots that he would like to be a part of. A lot of teams, though, need some help at wide receiver.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's certainly a lot of them. But they're not going to trade him in the old division, I think, to Baltimore. Maybe even trade him out of the conference to another team that could certainly use a wide receiver. Like you talk San Francisco, you know, put that guy in Arizona, too, where Josh Rosen, needs a wide receiver as well. I think Chicago needs one more difference maker, but I don't think they'd have the room under the cap. I think Chicago would be an interesting spot. I think the place I'd love to see him is Green Bay. Geronimo Allison's coming back, but they could use a receiver as well. Detroit kind of wants to pound the ball, etc. Miami could really use a wide receiver. So could Buffalo, but I think if anything, they probably look to trade him out of the conference first. They don't want to see him in the playoffs.
Yeah, and this is a team that needs more help than just a wide receiver. But could you imagine the Redskins being able to trade for an Antonio Brown?
Who's going to throw the ball? McCoy?
Exactly. I know that's the problem because it looks like Smith, at least for the early part of the season, is not going to be ready. Right?
Does it look that way? All right. Well, we'll get into the fantasy top 100 of 2018 coming up next year on the Roto Experts in the Morning, Sunday edition, right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.